And at this time on a Tuesday, Agony Uncle at newstalk.com is the line 53106 for Bobby's queries. Yesterday was National Sickie Day, and people calling in, I was giving them down the banks, the public sector taking their 9 days sick leave every year, people looking for days off. What's your take on it?
Well, I was nearly going to throw a sickie today in this slot because the tips you gave me on Sunday were absolute rubbish.
I made a fortune. I made more than I earn in a month.
I lost my shirt
what,
up on Leverstown.
I said back Sam Crowe.
Phil's Magic and all those
I never ones. Backed, I never said that to you. I never said Phil's Magic to you.
I must have been talking to somebody else.
No, certainly.
Anyway, I had to hitch
home. You've had too much of that free wine.
I had to hitch home to Dunleary after a day at the races. So
okay, well, did you...
Sickies. Yeah, I heard you talking about it, and people were getting quite emotional, weren't they? And sort of hostile texting and stuff you wouldn't be generally used to.
No, well, the point about it is this. I believe that the level of absenteeism is directly in proportion to the sick pay scheme. In other words, if you don't turn up, you don't get paid. Presto, you don't get sick.
Hey, you and I are on the same page on this one. You do see that where the sick pay schemes are enhanced, if you look at it, versus the ones that don't have sick pay schemes, they're night and day in terms of the absenteeism records. It kind of, the actual...
What's the norm? Like in terms of, you know, how many days without a doctor's cert?
3 days normally. In other words, after 3 days...
You get paid for 3 days.
Yeah. But what will happen is that you won't get paid for the first 3 days. In other words, you know, and people won't then.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's the sick cert. The company doctor is another one. If somebody is abusing the scheme, or if you have a scheme in place and somebody consistently abuses it, you can send them to the company doctor. But look, I think the biggest motivation as well is the colleagues that you work alongside. If there's a sense that you're leaving your colleague down rather than the employer, I think people are more inclined to turn up as well. So,
okay, we have a full post bag and we want to get through it. I gave a shout out earlier to this one from Sharon. Hi, Bobby. I work in retail. We have a staff bathroom at the back that we all share. It's unisex. We're all afraid to tell our boss about the state he leaves the toilet in. Don't mind if he does it at home, but he has no sense of sharing with others clearly. Any advice?
This is quite gross. But what I'd start is with the subtlety. Maybe a sign goes up. And I think you let the boss know by stealth almost that we know who you are. We know you're the guy that's using the bathroom and leaving it in a state. In other words, and I think you need to be careful here because you don't want this to rebound badly. But I think, you know, so maybe somebody in the office puts up a sign. Maybe somebody else puts out an email about how we must all improve the maintenance and hygiene in the toilet. But, you know, there's going to be no sense in tackling this guy front on, because it'll only end
badly. But what should she do?
So that's what I'm saying. I think you...
Put up a sign or something?
I'd be putting up a sign on the door saying we all have to... Like, just... It's basically common decency that we all have to work here. We all have to use the same bathroom. Please don't leave it like a pigsty. And by and large, that should sort things out. If it doesn't, I think there's a problem with working in the place and there's a problem with a particular individual.
Okay, next query from James in Kilkenny is about incorporation. To go from being to setting up your own company, be it limited or unlimited. Hi, Bobby. I'm currently a sole trader and have been since 2009. I have 6 employees, getting very busy now with some nice projects coming up. Should I go limited?
Yeah,
or not?
I'd suggest, and again, I don't know a lot about James's business, but given the information that he's giving us, that turnover is increasing, like, I think it's wise to separate your personal liabilities from your business liabilities, and this gives him an opportunity to do this, particularly if he's got things like the turnover built up. He'll find it easier to deal with banks. He'll be, you know, the revenue will know who he is, and I think but the limited liability protects, it ring fences the situation if things were to go pear shape, that they're not coming off on looking for his house.
And who should he put the shares in the name of the company?
Well, I think that's again a matter for himself. But I like the shares. He could put them in his own name. He could put them in his partner's name. He could put them jointly with himself and his partner. And I think they're kind of the options. But I think the shares in a limited company in your own name is not a bad idea.
Okay, we've an email here from Nicola. It's a bit long, but I'll try and paraphrase it. I work in customer service for a company for the last 4 years, and 3 years previous to that in another company. I speak fluent German and do my job efficiently. My role currently involves processing orders, dealing with salespeople in the German region. I'm also responsible for chasing unpaid invoices, and I've been very effective. My first question is, what do you think my salary should be? I work in Shannon, County Clare, as I know location would have a bearing on this. My second question is, other than my pay, I've been looking for promotion to move up the ranks, but finding it impossible to be successful at interviews. I've done about a dozen interviews over the past 2 years and have not been successful. Feedback, however, is minimal. Where can I go from here? I've thought about going back to college, but I'm married and have 2 children. I work full-time, so does my husband. We're both very dedicated parents in that we're hands-on. Both children are now teenagers, says Nicola.
Okay, interesting and I read this in detail, this email from Nicola. The first thing is I don't know what her salary should be, and I don't think you probably know either. But I think, you know, that's a pretty individual thing. So I'm not going to suggest a salary, but I would suggest a couple of other things. She's been for 13 interviews in over 2 years. That's one every 8 weeks. She says that she's not getting the feedback, but yet she still keeps applying for these other jobs. She works in customer service and made an application for a planning analyst. And I'm just wondering, is she applying for the right jobs within the company? Like, it seems to be a waste of everybody's time if she's putting herself forward for jobs and she's been interviewed. No one's coming back to her and she's not been selected. And 13 job interviews over 2 years is an awful lot. So I'd be thinking that maybe, just maybe, she might be it might be time to look elsewhere. I think she maybe should find something that she feels that she's good at, something that she enjoys, and she should focus maybe her opportunities in that area, rather than, it looks to me like she might be applying for the wrong jobs within the company. But again, I can't tell because I don't know the situation intimately. She does say that she doesn't really want to go back to college or take on a part-time job because she's got responsibilities and children and that. And
she'd be daft to go back to college.
I would have thought so.
Oh, for heaven's sake, yeah. Get a grip, woman. All right, now, Blanid from the Midlands. Bobby and Ivan, I work shifts that start before public transport starts in the morning. I can't afford to keep a car running and I've asked the boss to provide us with a taxi allowance or something like that, but he refuses. I'm thinking of making it part of my next contract talk. How do I approach this?
Well, absolutely do. Just a couple of things here, Blanid. Do you get a shift premium? She doesn't tell us that. So she works shifts. Often you'll get...
Say if you had to start at 7 in the morning, would that entitle you to a shift premium?
Well, before 7.
Yeah.
If you were working, say, 3-12 hours, or you were working, you know, 4-8 hours. So just the first thing is she getting a shift premium? We don't know, but maybe she is. So let's take it she's on a higher rate of pay than the person who's doing the same work for 9 to 5. The other thing is companies are often slow to get into something that's open-ended, i.e. say a taxi allowance. If I'm working in Dublin 1 and I live in Fairview and you're working with me in Dublin 1 and you live in Greystones and we're both entitled to a taxi, there's a significant difference in terms of, and I don't think employers generally like to be tied in to people's personal circumstances. Now, to say I'm thinking of making it part of my next contract talk, absolutely. But I'd nearly do the maths for the employer. I'd nearly say, you know, work out how much it is actually costing you to get in and out to work into the shift.
Or suggest just to come in later.
Or suggest that you get it in your hourly rate. Or, you know, there's a number of different ways of doing it. But by all means, make it it part of your contractual negotiations, but it's how you really dress it up and how you sell it in.
Okay, some of the queries we'll have to keep over till next week, but we'll take one final one. Tom, I'm a manager in Dublin 2. Bobby, any advice on course programmes wisdom to improve speaking and presentation, quality of staff and meetings? Some on staff here, and I'm still nervous in speaking in a room even after years in the position. So what would you, because you just do a lot of public speaking, corporate gigs.
My rates are much lower than yours, as the public know. But it's okay.
Well, I charge VAT, you don't.
but what I would say here, interesting enough, Ivan, on Saturday, I have a group from the Abbey Theatre coming in on Down to Business.
Okay.
And they're talking about the parallels of acting and business. And one of the things that they address is public speaking. A couple of things I would say about it. I'd start slowly. In other words, I'd give somebody a topic that they were comfortable with in a room with people that they were comfortable with and to talk for a minute. In other words, and you know, some people, it's their worst nightmare. And some people, frankly, haven't done all the trying and easing people into it. Some people just, it isn't their thing and probably should stay away from it where possible. And I mean, that's only a minority of people.
My advice is preparation. Mm-hmm. If you stand in front of a mirror in the privacy of your own room and practice and practice and practice again, you will make a better presentation than if you kind of just, you know, like on radio, what you do, just turn up and just keep talking.
So I'm the guy outside with reams of paper, reams of correspondence in the Agony Uncle, going through it in meticulous detail. But there you have it. It's just not appreciated on this show.
All right. Okay. Licking his wounds there. Bobby Curve, Down to Business on Saturdays and Bobby's Late Breakfast on Sundays. Do keep your queries coming. We store them up from agonyuncle@newstalk.com. And we wish you, Sharon, well with the smelly toilet problem. Thanks, Bobby.